Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Roadzone Algeria study group. In the call, we have Dennis, Jocelyn, Majana, Ajay, and Pidinan. Today is the 8th of October 2018. Over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Pidinan. Welcome, everyone. So, Pidinan, can we have or can you give me presentation rights so that I can share my screen? Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and so I want to share this screen. Hold on a second, my Adobe Connect crash, so I need to restart again. Hold on a second. Sorry for the inconvenience. This is happening way too often, but no way to avoid it, I think. Okay, so here we, here I go again, share my screen. Yeah, there you go. I think that's working. You should be looking at my screen now. Okay, and I have, yes, you can see the screen now, they're fine. All right. Okay, so I have to be honest with you. The last 2 weeks I have been rather occupied with other things, and last week the Latin Generation panel had a face-to-face workshop which consumed most of my week. So I haven't been able to update recommendations 2 through 5, which we discussed the last time we talked. So I don't think, so I took my notes, I re-listened the call on September 24th, and I've taken my notes, and I have an idea how to proceed, but there is no need to go over those again until we have a revised version of those recommendations. So what I want to do is, go directly to 6 where we stop discussing. Sorry. So on number 6, it has to do with the question that or the subject of upper limit, the notion that the Roadzone LGR defines the upper limit as to the coupon repertoire, and that should be something that applicants or anyone that is using the Roadzone LGR has to accept. They may not agree with it, they may not like it, but they have to accept it. But I think what we want to do here is to explain how the repertoire came about, and whether there is a need for appeal process, what the user can expect to happen, right? In the context of, for example, just as a way of context, the rules on the LGR, and probably you already know this, I'm just saying this out loud, but since you all, most of you belong to Generation Panel, you know that the rules on the LGR is based on the maximal starting repertoire, which is defined by the Integration Panel, which also has the upper limit in IDNA 2008, right? So it's a hierarchy of maximal repertoires, if you will, depending on where you look at, right? So if a code point is not in the Ruchon LDR but is included in MSR, there is a chance to request the incorporation or addition to that of that specific code point, right? And that process has to be followed, like perhaps reaching out to integration panel. Integration panel will reach out to the generation panel or reconvene a new one in order for them to address the addition of a new code point to a specific script. But if the code point is it's not in MS or in IDNA 2008, for example, then there is no really no process, right? It's not in the protocol, so there is no process to avail, and case is closed right there. So I think that the extent of what we need to talk about and set up the recommendations based on each of these use cases. And just as to start our conversation, I think those are the use cases that we talk about, right? What if the component is not in the Ruchon LDR, in the current version of the Ruchon LDR? What if the component is not in MSR or is not in IDNA 2008? I think those are the pretty clear use cases, but are there any other ones? Let me see if anyone has. Okay, so we have Edmond Alibreza and Sarma just joined. I don't know at which point you joined, but just as a way to recap, I was saying that last time that we met on September 24, we went over recommendations 2 through 5. I have not the time to update those based on our discussion, so that's on me. I need to work on that. I was rather occupied last week and the week before. But now we're resuming on recommendation 6, which has to do with the upper limit of copon repertoire. And here are the 3 use cases in which the repertoire is defined, right? Starting from the universe IDNA 2008 down to the subset MSR defined by the IP, and then further limited set, the Ruchon LDR itself defined by the generation panels and the IP as well. Let me pause here. Desalen, you have your hands up.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Desalen, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. I have a question here. So the 3 options, IDNA 2008, MSR, HyperNex, Ruchon LDR, HyperNY, are they mutually exclusive? If a code point is available in IDNA 2008, definitely it will be available in MSR version X. Why not here? Important to simply put MSRX instead of there, because MSRX to some extent subsumes IDNA 2008.
The selling,
my question.
Yeah, you came across choppy, so I could not hear the entire question clearly. I think what I captured was, well, these 3 use cases, and I'm just, these the ones that we talked about in the past, I believe, maybe there are more, but 3 are the big buckets of groups, if you will. But each one of these, I mean, Ruchon LDR is contained within MSR, and MSR is contained within ADNA 2007. So imagine a big bubble IDNA 2008, within that bubble, you will find MSR version 3, for example, which is the current version. And within the MSR 3 bubble, it's going to be the roots on LDR. Your question was whether these are exclusive. So they are not. Roots on LDR is a subset of MSR, and in that turn, MSR is a subset of IDNA 2008. That's the way it works. So I am not sure if I'm answering your question.
My question here is why it's important to have three of them here.
Designing, can you repeat, please?
If you're not hearing me, let me join the call with Skype.
Okay, yeah, that's probably a better idea. When you do that, Edmund, please.
Thank you. So in part in response to Desalyn and also part of my question as well, I think the reason why they're there is that we might have slightly different thing to say if that was the reason, say, a certain code point is not kind of out of repertoire, if you will. So I could imagine saying things like, for if it's outside of IDNA 2008, or let's broaden that a little bit, that if it's outside of the IETF standards for IDN, then we should reject right away, don't even consider it. If it's outside of MSR or if it's outside of RITZONOGR, maybe, you know, the actual policy needs to be dealt with in the ICANN process, and we would point the process to a different point it down a different route. So I guess that's I guess in response to Desalyn, that's I think the intention for having these three, even though they are a subset of each other, because we might have a different thing to say. My question then is whether this is the right place to talk about and write in what we might what we should recommend or not.
Thank you, Edmund. So you are questioning whether we even can do a recommendation, and I think that was my point as well when I was reading through this. I'm not sure whether there is something to recommend here other than, I mean, explaining that these are the cases and that's how the LGR procedure works, and if you have any issues, thinking in the context of appeal process, that there's something that we scope in within our analysis, right? What should an applicant do if they find that their a code point is missing, or they believe a variant code point should be added within those? What's the appeal process? I mean, in that context, I see that we can do some explanation. I'm not sure about recommendation, but some explanation maybe would be worth doing. That's me. Let me check if Desalyn wrote something. Okay, no, he's still working on connecting. So any other input on number six? So I think what we're here is we are on the sideline as to whether there is really actually a recommendation or something that we need to talk about here.
Uh, This is Sarma. I'd like to make a comment.
Sarma, please go ahead.
So I'm just actually thinking this is in the context of those scripts which are integrated into the root zone LGR already. I guess then there are also scripts which are not integrated. Are we going to talk about both cases, or are we only going to talk about just one of those cases? I guess I'll have some follow-up based on the response to that.
That's a good question, Sarman. I mean, based on what would be discussion about scripts not supporting the root zone LGR, that might go a different direction, but I can see a place where the script is supported, but there are certain coupons that were not included in the root zone LGR, but are including MSR, or they were not included, not even in MSR, but they are part of the IDNA 2008 standard. So I can see, right, it's on the first use case where the script is supported, but it's lacking a few code points or binding rules or whole level evaluation rules for that matter.
Just a quick follow-up. I realize Edmund's already in the queue. I think that there is probably also another level of distinction. And that distinction is that there are then two kinds of code points. One set of code points which were considered by the generation panel and excluded for a reason. And that reason is documented in the, in the LGR proposal itself. Versus then there are other code points which were inducted in the MSR later on, after the generation panel had actually done their analysis in a new version of MSR because of a new version of Unicode. And therefore, the generation panel had actually not deliberated on it. And so there's no record of those code points in the proposal by the generation panel. To me, those are at least two different kinds of sets which may have, you know, we may actually have to say different things about them, making a further subdivision. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarma. Edmund, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess building on what Sarma said, and in response to Dennis, you said earlier, I do think we can say something, actually. I was asking the question whether this is the right place to say something. I'll just send the a proposal to actually say something about this. I suggest that we actually make a recommendation to draw a bright line between those that are in the IETF standards and those that are not. And for those that are not in IDN 2008, or actually we probably should say subsequent IETF standards, but in those cases, then no policy should be able to override it. I mean, we should put in a recommendation that says there's no point creating policies around that. Whether the GTLD side or CCTLD side receives something like that, they should just take it out, reject it. But for those that are within IBNA 2008 or within IETF standards, then the policy realm kicks in. And in that case, we probably shouldn't have the actual policy recommendation, but what we can say is that these are some of the things that you want to look at, whether it's in the MSR, whether it's in the root zone LGR, whether it was considered and then excluded from the root zone LGR, as Sarma said, and we can list a few things there so that the policy people can look at this and say, hey, these are the few things that we need to consider and put policy behind it. I do think it is worth us putting in recommendation, at least from what I'm thinking.
Anyone else?
So this is Sarmat. I'd like to get in the queue, please.
Go ahead, Sarmat.
Okay, so I guess the question is that if we are saying that root zone is the gating factor for an application to proceed, then those code points which are not in root zone LGR, assuming that they are in the MSR, are we still, are there contexts, well, there may be some contexts in which those applications could still be, I guess, considered through downstream policy, but are we saying that should we consider all those cases for downstream policy, including those code points which have been excluded by the generation panel?
Please mute your phones if you're not speaking. We're hearing background now. Thank you. Sarma, can you repeat, because the background noise kind of threw me off.
Sure. So the question is that we are suggesting that subsequent downstream policy can perhaps say some things about those applications which contain code points which are beyond root zone LGR for that script, for the case, for those contexts where we are saying that the script is already made integrated into the root zone LGR. So I guess the question is that since we are saying that root zone LGR is the gating factor, are we saying that any application which has additional code points beyond the root zone LGR, it will go into a subsequent policy, downstream policy, or it will be processed through that policy? Or are we even including those strings which are, for example, explicitly excluded by the generation panel? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. I don't have an answer yet. So, all right, let's hear what Edmund has to say. Edmund, please go ahead. Edmund, that was on all hand, and you just, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you.
No, sorry, I muted myself. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so building on what Samad said, I guess, and building on my earlier proposal, what I would propose we add is then that so there is one chunk, which is if it's not in the IDNA 2008, it should be punted out and go to IETF and figure it out there. There's another chunk that would say if it's not in the root zone LGR, the downstream policy should not be able to touch it. It has to go back to the root zone LGR process, which number six really is saying that. The only thing that it can say is that it has to go there. The only thing that it can, downstream policy can decide is whether to keep the application suspended or reject the application, right? And then there's a third part where it's the root zone LGR part, and that's where that ties into the variance part and stuff. I forgot where in this document there would be. And those cases would likely be places where policy can have intervention. I'm guessing that there should be at least three bands, if not more. So the first one that ICANN must reject right out. The second part where it's within the MSR, not within the LGR or somewhat, whether they can keep the application alive get it the root zone LGR procedure started and you know and wait for that to be complete. And then the third approach where it is already in the root zone LGR and what further on policy can do in terms of intervention.
All right. Thank you, Edmund. Yeah, I think I got it. Any other ideas? Sarmat.
Right. So I think the bar should be higher for those core points which were which already existed in the version of the MSR which was considered by the generation panel and not included versus those code points which came into a later version of MSR and were not in the MSR version which was considered by the generation panel. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not really sure what the difference in bar should be, but those are clearly two different sets where we don't know about one set about whether it should be included in the root zone LGR or not because it was never considered by a generation panel versus the other set which was clearly considered by a generation panel and not included. So I guess figure out whether that distinction is still useful to make or we just lump everything together and say that, send that back to generation panel for considering because, generation panel may not want to come together on things it's already considered and just say that, you know, we've already made a decision. Why are you coming back to us, on certain things? Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, I think that's a good point. So we have to make the distinction and explain to their leaders so they know what to expect, right? I think one way is that they look at the supporting documentation of each of the corresponding generation panel. If they found that the coupon that they were looking for inclusion was analyzed, but otherwise not included in the repertoire by a reason, they will have to come up with a very good, they will have to collect very good evidence and to demonstrate that the coupon actually is in need and it will not pose any security and stability issues to the roots on the ER. So yeah, I think we can list those items so that the user cannot just do a request lightly. And they know what to expect from the process. Any other ideas, any other comments on 6? Okay, so we'll take those all those notes and come up with a new version of number 6. Let's move on.
Those Dennis, seven, I just want to Ajay here. Since I do not have the access to the raising the hand, just allow me to speak at the end for a minute. Thank you very much.
Ajay, please go ahead.
No, at the end, not now. Thank you.
Ah, okay. Yeah, just, yeah, since you don't have Adobe Connect at hand, just let us know when you want to be added to the queue and yeah, we'll just put you in the queue accordingly. No worries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so moving on, number 7, I think we will talk about this last time we talk, that we need to revise whether the study group fully agrees with the recommendations or we really need to elaborate very specifically as to which ones we support or we recommend subsequent policy to look at when it comes to single character TLD applications. So need to work on that. So we'll skip this for today, and let's continue on revising all the items left. All right, so the next point within our scope is to talk about the existing gTLDs and cTLDs and whether they should be valued through the routes on LGR. And I think our preliminary conversation on this item, right, we're talking about existing generic top-level domain names and ccTLDs, and we talk about using the routes on LGR once implemented to calculate their variance, if there are any, so that subsequent rounds of TLD applications, whether in the generic side or the country code side, they are aware in order to prevent name collisions issues, and the variance, whatever is calculated, they are reserved or allocated to the current registry operator. I don't think there is. Is there anything else here? Is it? So I'm just taking notes here, and those who are following me on not able to follow me. Let me just close caption my actions here, if you will. So what I think what we want to say here for existing top level delegated top-level domain names, what we want to use the routes on LGR for is to calculate their variance. Validation, my point is they're already delegated. There is no point in doing a validation. I mean, the routes on LGR will do it by default, but that's not the main issue that we want to do with the 16 top-level domain names. What we want to do is to discover those variant labels that may exist so that proper actions need to be taken from a operational standpoint and policy as well. Does that sound fair? Any other input? Edmund, please go ahead.
Yeah. So again, I don't know whether this is the place to talk about it or there are further down you talk about it. The question perhaps is also when the root zone LGR changes, the impact of the new one to the existing one that needs to be calculated. But the existing ones, or the existing ones specifically, so I guess the first time it's being used to calculate the variance and so on, happens if there is a conflict. Do we need to talk about that? Do we grandfather that? Is that something that we should talk about here, or is that, are there other places? I'm just saying that, for example, the reason LGR now gets created and implemented, and two of the existing TLDs happen to conflict with each other in the extreme case. What happened then? Is that something that we talk about here?
That's a good question. I don't know if we have the expertise within this group to discuss possible solutions, but I think we can raise the issue. I think that would be fair, right? Sarma?
Thank you. So I think there is something we should say in the first sub-bullet where you're saying validation is not required. I think we should probably require the root zone LGR to support the existing GTLDs and CCTLDs. So that may be a condition on root zone LGR rather than the TLDs. Asking all generation panels to make sure that, and this is something we test, by the way, internally, but I think this may actually be a requirement which can be potentially put on a generation panel. So it's sort of looking the other direction rather than root zone LGR. Validating GTLDs, it's the GTLDs which are requiring root zone LGR to sort of support something. That way we don't have to actually grandfather the TLDs. They will actually be validated. That's one way of looking at it. And then obviously there are other implications which Edmund has been raising. And those are sub-questions, I guess, in the bullets later on, where we are actually going to be talking about it. I see there are a couple of sub-bullets. First is how to address variant TLDs, labels, which are self-identified, and then what to do with variant TLDs, how to deal with TLDs in which they are somehow colliding with each other based on root zone LGR calculations. So those are actually two of the sub-bullets we've identified already. This is part of the, I guess, bullets later on in this document, which are, I think, relevant for this discussion. I think, again, there should be something we should say about designing the root zone LGR, which should minimize such conflicts. obviously, I guess if there is eventually a collision, of course, we need to have some policy to manage that. Those are two sub-questions I guess we should probably handle or address separately. One is on self-identified variants. I think, of course, that has been done so far in, out of the context of root zone LGR. So that is something, again, one of the things we need to discuss is whether the root zone LGR calculations are going to override any of that record. So that record is going to be moot and will be overtaken by root zone LGR. Or is there anything else we have to do on self-identified variant TLDs? About the collision, is that something which the GPs should consider during design time, or is that something which has to be considered following the root zone LGR publication, or a bit of both? Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Just a follow-up question to you, Sarma. Did you suggest that GP should come up with some kind of recommendation when it comes to potential name collisions with existing binary TLDs?
Right. So I think that's something which GPs should consider in the design, I guess. They should look at their data, I guess. At least that's what I'm saying, and see what they are proposing, what kind of impact that has on existing TLD base. Obviously, stability is a concern in LGR design, in addition to other concerns, perhaps. Then weigh their design on the impact and eventually then decide how to move forward. But if I think at least that much, that if there is an impact where it is the LGR is causing a collision, there should be a proper discussion on that collision within the GP proposal, suggesting the way forward, so that the community can weigh on it during the public comment process. At least that much should be there, without really saying whether they should go one way or the other. They should document their discussion, identify the issue, and take it to public comment during the LGR proposal approval process, I think.
Okay, thank you, Sarmat. I do. I'm just reacting based on my right. I'm part of the one of the generation panels, and I'm just maybe trying to make sense of those generation panels that are already disbanded. How, I mean, from a practical standpoint, I mean, how are they going to do this? That's only I'm just thinking out loud. You don't have to answer. I'm just me thinking out loud based on current knowledge. But yeah, I think that's something that we can defer to generational panels do the analysis based on their current or proposals of repertoire and button rules and come up with a technical recommendation as to how to deal with potential name collisions in today's with today's existing TLDs.
Ajay Datta here, Dennis, and maybe we reach to a point of dead end in this analysis where it is not even solvable. Then that kind of situation may also arise in this kind of analysis. Whereas what you are looking at is a blockable variant today, but it is allowed in the past, and how you will solve that situation at any point of time.
Yep. Thank you, AJ. I've had Edmond and Desalin. Edmond, please go ahead.
Yeah, so building on what Sama said and in fact a little bit on what Ajay mentioned. First of all, I think validation should be required and should validate existing TLDs. And when we talk about grandfathered, I'm not sure whether that's the right word I need to think about. But at least there's some mitigation thing must be done. And then what Sama mentioned as a second point, which is what the GP should do, I think that would be a must. GP must address the issue if there is a variant conflict or if the existing gTLDs or ccTLDs would end up in conflict for when a new root zone LGR is being considered. So I think there is a degree of difference. The first one would be a should, and some mitigation could be done. And the second one, in terms of whether they address the issue, they must address the issue. They can't just, slip it under the rug or something. We must put out and do the analysis of the existing, because we're talking about the existing GTLDs when a candidate root zone LGR is being considered, right? So they must do the analysis to make sure it's fine. And if there are going to be conflicts, they must identify them and explain how they would mitigate the issue or what is being considered. And just to
sorry, I was on mute.
They must address it. Doesn't mean dictate which side they go, accept or reject.
Right. Thank you, Edmond. Have the Salin and then Sarma.
Okay. Thank you. My suggestion here is in the case of this, as Eric suggested, it is important to include one requirement in the existing LGR process. So there are a set of requirements in the existing LGR process. So we can include one additional requirement saying that for existing LGRs, GDPs are required to undergo some sort of analysis to suggest what course of actions needs to be done with a specific variant.
Thank you, Salim. Yeah, I think we agree. And that's the direction we are taking. I have my notes here to recommend GP must do variant analysis against existing TLDs and propose mitigation measures as well. Sarma, you had your hand up, but I don't see it anymore. Do you still want to?
Yeah, so I just actually wanted to make a comment against what you were actually suggesting you were thinking about in the context of, you know, whether what's already been approved and in Root Zone LGR, whether, you know, that's undergone the same analysis. I just wanted to say that we've actually been doing that kind of analysis. But it's something I could actually go back and look at again and come back to you maybe in a week or 2 weeks and reconfirm that those LGRs which actually have been integrated, whether they are stable under these conditions which we are discussing. So that in that sense, then we can close that discussion and start just looking at those LGRs which are currently being reviewed and proposed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I want to go back to point raised by Edmund, whether the use of grandfather term here is adequate or not. And maybe there's another more preferred term here to use. What I meant is that existing TLDs are delegated already, and they're already in the root zone. So those are not subject to revocation, if you will. And that's why I put it in there as existing TLDs must be grandfathered. That is, should not be an objection to that unless I'm missing something. Okay, I have the Silent Edmond and Sarmat. Okay, so Edmond and then Sarmat.
Yeah, so I'm not sure we can say that for sure, whether a TLD might be revoked, and I'm not sure. I am still trying to think whether this is the right, that we can make that determination. And that's the reason why I think grandfather might not be the right word. I understand where you're coming from, and I think that is mostly the case. I can possibly imagine a case where TLD could be revoked. I don't know, when, say, some security vulnerability is discovered and we immediately revoke something. I mean, that's very unlikely, but to say that they must be grandfathered might be too strong, and I'm not sure whether this is the right group to make that determination.
Thank you, Edmund. Sarma?
Right, so maybe a similar solution as we did for variants, where we require the generation panel to look at all the existing TLDs for their script, and for any TLD which they decide is not validated by the root zone LGR proposal they're proposing, they must discuss why and perhaps suggest some recommendations. At least that much they should do in case they are causing an instability in the existing root zone.
Sarma, come again, please.
So again, I guess what I'm saying is that I think the generation panel should be given the responsibility to justify in case their proposal does not support an existing TLD, and that must be part of the LGR proposal which goes to the public comment so that the community can comment on that in case they are suggesting a solution which does not support or validate all the existing TLDs in the root zone. So something similar to the variant analysis.
Yep, got it. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's the same recommendation basically here, but in the context of repertoire. Okay, good discussion. See, I have comment here at 1+1. I believe that's to the recent Tarmac's input. I agree. Okay, doing time check. It's 10:54, so 6 minutes to the top of the hour. I don't want to go into a new topic because I will go over past the time, so I want to stop here. And let's do some calendar check. I think we can still meet next Monday, the 15th, before some of you are busy with item 63 meetings. So, or maybe not. Sarmat?
Sorry, yes. I was actually going to refer to one of the items which we were we not discussed, and I just wanted to, I guess, check whether we'll probably, I guess, come back to it next time. That was on the variants which are self-identified at this point. Is that something you want to discuss next time, or want to discuss them now? Just want to make sure that we don't sort of leave that out of the discussion, just to make sure we come back to it. Because that's an important factor we need to address, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, self-identified variant labels. Is that right?
Yes, both for GTLDs and CCTLDs.
Yes. Yeah, I know we have that as a topic somewhere. So.
Yeah, it's later in the list. It's.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, yeah, we need to talk about it. And. Edmond, AJ said he wanted to speak at the end. Oh, okay. AJ, still there? You want to add something before we adjourn?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Just 2 points. Are we meeting physically in ITM 63 sometime? That's one. Or is it possible to have a meeting face-to-face? That may be very useful to discuss some things. If we are there, even otherwise, informally is fine. And secondly, I had a talk with bit of chat with Sarmad. I am getting an opportunity to talk about trusted internet with Government of India 2 days later. And they were interested to give presentation with respect to IDNs and EAI for a trusted internet and their impact. So do you have any presentation or an idea? Though I have got some LGR and some presentations from Sarmad. If you have some ideas or if you have given some presentation, that will be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajay. So on the first question, I'm not planning to attend. I don't think I'm going to attend ICANN 63, so face-to-face, not possible for me. But, I mean, you are welcome to meet your fellow working members and discuss the current draft and provide any input. But yeah, face-to-face, not possible for me.
Okay.
And your second question was about whether we have this group materials that you want to share with certain audience within the government of India?
Yes.
What specifically you want to talk about? I mean, you're welcome to put together. I mean, the only presentation we have available is the one that you saw for ICANN 63, but it's various high level summary as to where we are. I'm not sure if that's helpful or whether that's something that it's of interest or the contents if it's in the right way.
So, to be honest, actually, the word term given to me is trusted internet and its impact because of IDMs and AI. That's the topic. And how IDMs are impacting or bringing the trust or creating, going to impact more. That's the point of view I think government is looking for. So, I thought that if you individually have discussed this point somewhere. This has nothing to do with root zone, of course, but if it has an impact because of root zone process, then I can put a slide with.
Right. Again, I mean, you have the presentation that this group has put together for the ICANN 63 presentation, but I'm sure there are other that you can use for your purposes, but Sarma would be, I mean, I would point you to defer to Sarma because he collects all the presentations.
So I think, thank you, I got the answer. If somebody can contribute, please send me, it will be helpful. I am in touch with Sarma Dalvi. Thank you very much.
All right, AJ, thank you. Okay, so it's 1 minute to the top of the hour, so we'll stop here. And we'll reconvene next Monday, the 15th, same time. Sarmat or Pitina, I think we need the new meeting invite because I don't see it on Monday. Or it's the 15th, so let's circulate
sure.
that invitation so that people. Yeah, thank you, Sarmat. And yep, we'll regroup next Monday, and then we'll pause during the ICANN 63 meeting week. And then we'll reconvene the following Monday, I think, on the 29th. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.